Sauer nice word in Pasha Mishputim. The Pusik this week says Nasa Venishma. Right? When the Eden were offered Kabbalah Satoira, they all answered together Nasa Venishma. Now, the Chidishim asks the question, why did they answer Nasa Venishma? Each person was answering, each one should have said for himself, Esava Eshma, I will do, and I will hear. And they all said it together, so it should have been a huge choir of people saying, in Alushan Yuchid, Esava Eshma. Why the plural term, Nasa Venishma? They're all answering collectively for everyone? He says that when Yidin were Makabal the Torah, they felt such a sweetness, such a arrivas and masikas. They were so excited to be Makabal the Torah. It was so sweet to them. They didn't want to take it for themselves. They didn't want to just say, okay, I'll do what I have to do. No, this is so good. Let me do it to everyone. I'll make sure that everyone can be Makabal the Torah. The Kol Yisrael arrived Mzeh Lezeh, which we know is a chiev arvis, that we have to take responsibility for other people. It wasn't as a chiev. It was a privilege. It was so exciting when somebody's giving out, you know, a good presents. You take more for all your family, all your friends, you're so happy to give everyone, you know, some of it because it's so good. And that's how Yidin felt about Kabbalah Satoira. And that's why they all answered, Nasa V'Nishma. Now very often, let me say this much, very often people out of good intention want to help other people. And it's really good intention. And I mean it when I say this. So often you're a husband trying to help a spouse, a wife, or wife helping a husband, trying to help them be more erlich, trying to help them be more matzliach in their life. And very often people see it as, you know, all I mean is good. I'm trying to help you get up in time so that you're successful in your job and you don't get thrown out. I'm trying to help you stay more concentrated and focused, you make more money. I'm trying to help you have less nesioinah so that you're more erlich. And very often it's good. And you should know that when there's that apathy where somebody doesn't care about a spouse, oh, do what you want, I don't care, it doesn't bother me if you're not matzliach, that's not good. We should care about each other, and we should even take some kind of responsibility, not codependency, but some kind of responsibility that the people around us who we love should be doing well. That's how it should be. But we have to always remember that sometimes when you mean well and you try to impose on someone else something good and you justify it with all your good intentions, you start rationalizing all your moves because I only mean you're good, sometimes you go beyond the boundaries and beyond the limits and you're not doing good anymore. So the point is not that if you mean good, you shouldn't always do good. You should always do good. But sometimes the good is not doing. Sometimes, Chazal tell us, mitzvah lo yilomer duvish lo nishma, you don't say something that somebody won't be able to accept. Even if you mean very well, and even if it's for that person's benefit, and that person would have benefited from listening to you, but it doesn't work. See, you don't say it, and you have to come up with better ways to help someone. So that's very often you see it in the marriage, and sometimes you see it when it comes to someone else's marriage. I've spoken about this many times about parents trying to help their children's relationships, or sometimes it's their children's Yiddishkeit, or sometimes it's their children's success. And very often, because we're so emotionally involved with our children, we overstep boundaries. And it doesn't help. And it hurts. And it makes problems. And the intentions are good. And then parents wonder, like, why are you getting offended? Don't you know I mean you're good? And the answer is, you do mean they're good. And still you have to know that as much as you mean someone's good, and as much as you should mean someone's good, as much as you should feel responsible to try to the best of your ability to help your children have shalom bayis and have success, and have Yiras Shamayim and have whatever they need, but you have to know till where to go. And you have to know at what point it's not healthy anymore. This is something that I've seen all kinds of relationships. When people overstep boundaries, you see it with siblings. How often people call me, my sister doesn't have shalom bayis. My brother's struggling in his marriage. This one's with that, this one's with this. And people really want to help. And sometimes you have to know that there's only so much you could do. There's only so much that you could say that would be taken well. There's only so much that you could help out and mix your nose in and accomplish something. So that's something to think about. And let me mention a question over here that along these lines, you know, just a little different dynamics, same idea, that we have to realize how much could we say the Nasa V'Nishma, and how much do we have to realize that, this is not my domain anymore. So let me read a question. Dear Rabbi Gruen, I want to thank you for the wisdom and advice you share on Torah. Anytime, I value what you have to say and look forward to your new shiurim. I have a question on shalom bayis between parents, which I believe is a very sensitive topic. My parents, Baruch Hashem, have a stable marriage and love each other deeply, but they are always bickering. As a child, I was constantly nervous about their marriage because they seemed to always argue about the same kinds of things. My father is quite critical, and my mother has a more stubborn nature. I am married for a few years now and have a beautiful marriage, and I'm often hurt for my mother by the things my father says, although he does not generally mean to be hurtful. My parents and I are very open, and I once discussed very respectfully with my father about his being critical of my mother. My father was very open with me, and I believe he appreciated what I had to say, but I was concerned that I was doing the improper thing because I'm his daughter. I found out from the conversation that my father feels my mother does not spend enough time with him. To sum it up, it seems some basic needs in their marriage are not being met. My father needs more time spent with my mother. My mother needs more compliments from my father. I believe there's much more potential for them to still work on their marriage and enjoy a more peaceful and loving marriage like the one I am, Baruch Hashem, Zoicha to have. Any advice on how to proceed with helping them, being that I am their child and I'm afraid of overstepping boundaries? would be appreciated. I apologize for the lengthy question. Any input would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Okay. First thing I want to mention, and I don't know, maybe I don't mention it enough, maybe not enough questioners talk like this, but when somebody writes to me, and I tell this to people when they talk to me, I'm Baruch Shem married for a few years now, and I have a beautiful marriage. You're a very lucky person. And I'm not saying it because it's unique to have a good marriage. No, Baruch Shem, a lot of people have good marriages. Marriage is not a bad going business. People think that it's a lost case. It's not. Very many people have good marriages. If you have a good marriage, you should be very thankful. There's nothing like a good marriage. And some people take it for granted. Baruch Shem, it's good, it's fine. Don't take it for granted. When it comes to children, that's what sometimes people realize more, because when you have five children, and with one of them you're struggling, and the other one you're not, one of them is not giving you so much nachas, and the other one is, then people don't take that for granted. They start appreciating more the nachas that they do get from one child or from a few children. When it comes to marriage, you only have one marriage, one relationship, and you take for granted that things are good. It's not something to take for granted. You should be thankful. Thank Hashem. Thank your spouse. You should appreciate having a good marriage. A good relationship is everything. And I don't mean to make anyone jealous, Chas v'Shalom, but I do mean to make people aware of the blessings in their life. Right, being happily married is something that not only is a blessing of its own, it definitely brings a lot of other blessings. It helps you take care of a lot of other situations in life and make other things easier because you have a good partner to work with and to resolve things with. So that's something to be very, very thankful for. Okay, now interestingly, one of the first divorces or separations in the Torah, right, one of the first times we find that a relationship was having a issue. I know Udam Rishon was also somewhat separated from his wife for a while, which Chazal teaches us about. But one something that we do find in Parsha Shemois was the Parsha Vayalech Ishmi Bais Laivi V'Yikach Es Bas Laivi. Right? Amram and Yecheved. So what happened? Rashi tells us, Purish Hoye Memenem Epnei Gzairas Paroi V'Chuzer V'Lokcha. Right? He was, let's call it, separated from his wife, and he took her again. And it's a question. It seems that he actually was Megarasha and had Chasna again. What does it mean? He went. He went to take her. He went means he followed Atzas Bitoy. It was his daughter that told him, you know, you're doing worse than Pare. Pare is only going on the Schurim and you're not having children at all. And that's why he married her again. So it's interesting that the first time, I'm just mentioning the interesting part based on your question, the first time that we find that a couple separated and divorced, it was a daughter who got them back together. So maybe there's some remez over there, that sometimes there is something a daughter could do to help a parent's marriage. However, of course, you have to understand not to overstep boundaries, like you're mentioning, whether because it's inappropriate, or because it doesn't help, or because it causes damage, or because it's not your place. So that's something they have to think. In general, I would say, okay, that a child mixing into a parent's marriage, in general, is not very different than a parent mixing into a child's marriage. Very often you do it because you mean well, and only because you mean well. And sometimes you actually get emotionally involved, and you don't realize sometimes what should be said or what shouldn't be said or how it's going to be taken, because you're too close. You're too close. Especially when it comes to the issues of kibbutz avoim, you know, knowing what to say to a father about a mother, knowing what to say to a mother about a father, knowing how it's going to be taken, knowing how to talk to the person you're talking to. I mean, we have very clear halachos about how to give misr or make a parent aware of something they're doing wrong. Even if they're doing an Isser, even if you have to tell them something, you know, being Mechal Shabbos is a way to say it. So telling a parent, mixing into a parent's marriage, there's a lot involved understanding, you know, what your place is and what your place isn't, and how your comments may be taken, or the after effects that it could have, or how you might be seeing the situation based on how emotionally involved you are. And that's all very, very, very important to think about before doing something like this. Now, before I go on to anything practical, what you should do, let me mention something. And it could be that you're right, and it could be what I'm going to say now is not applicable, but I want to mention it. I often see people saying about other people's relationships, there's something going on over there. It's not good. What's not good? The husband's always making all the decisions. It's terrible. Every time his wife needs money, she calls him for the credit card. Or this guy's always coming late to Simchas because his wife is never ready and he's always waiting for her. It's terrible. It's not a normal thing. Interestingly, often you'll see, and I see, that what looks problematic to you and what may have been problematic by you, something you wouldn't tolerate, something you'd go crazy from, for that couple it works fine. Nobody feels deprived, nobody feels upset, nobody feels challenged, nobody feels controlled. It's fine, it works, she doesn't mind. It's okay, either because they got used to it or because that's how they set up the relationship, because what they grew up with, it doesn't matter, they're happy. And that's what counts. And a lot of people say this. For example, so many rules, so many regulations, I don't like the way we're taught what to do, etc. All the people listening to all the rules, they're not really happy. They have to do everything the way they're told. So some people are just fine with it. You'd be surprised. It's not what, it's who. Very often, it's not what. It's not what you're seeing. It's not what's happening. It's who it's happening to. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you should be okay with it because someone else is okay with it. If it's a problem to you, speak up and do something about it. But you should know, there are people that are okay with things that are happening, even if to you it would look like a problem. Why am I saying this? Because with some couples, especially older couples, okay, today we have less tolerance than they used to. Today's couples are, you know, a little more fragile than they used to be, I think. But I've seen older couples, and I think many people could say this about their grandparents sometimes. They were bickering. Zaidi was always complaining about Babi, and Babi always had what to say about Zaidi, and every time he came home from shul, she would say, why so late? And things like that. And you know what? They loved each other. And they were fine with it. You should know, there are... So you're mentioning, and the reason why I'm saying this, you mentioned that your parents have a stable and a loving marriage, a stable marriage, and they love each other deeply, but they're always bickering. You'd be surprised. Now, I know that I'm not saying that they enjoy the bickering. I'm not saying that they wouldn't want to improve things. I'm saying that I've seen couples, I've seen this up front, I've seen this up close, with older couples more. There was the constant bickering. And there was the constant, back and forth. And it was just fine. Nobody ever considered leaving the marriage. Nobody ever felt that they were a victim. Nobody ever felt they were being taken for a ride or suffering. And well, no, they liked each other. They were fine with it. I once read an interesting story about two friends in shul. One of them was, they used to fight a whole day. They used to sit on the bench together. They used to fight a whole day. And they wouldn't get along about anything. Whatever one would say, the other would say different. You know, Republican, Democrat, cold, hot, this, that. They were fighting the whole day. And everyone would always wonder, like, well, why can't you guys stop fighting? What's going on here? And then one time, Riven was hospitalized. He wasn't feeling well. He was a little older already, hospitalized. And he was in the hospital for a few weeks. Now, Shimon was coming to Shiel every week. And he was sitting there by himself. And he didn't have his friend to fight with him. So seemingly, you'd think, okay, he's probably much calmer these days. You know, nobody's contradicting him, nobody's challenging him. You know, but it wasn't. But they started noticing that Shimon wasn't the same. He wasn't coming to Shiel with the same geschmack. After some time, somebody brought his attention. You know, even in the hospital, maybe he's glad to go visit. He went up to visit him, and right when he walks in, Riven, the friend laying in the hospital, he lit up. He was all excited to see his friend again. And they started, Hashim was asking, how are you? How are you feeling? They started getting into conversation. All of a sudden, they're bickering all over again. And they both walked out feeling, when Shimon left, Shimon was like a different person. He felt so good, and they even felt wonderful. And that's when they realized that this bickering, that was their relationship. That's how they grew, that's how they communicated. And I was just fine. It was just fine. Now, I'm not advocating bickering. I'm not advocating debating and arguing. But I'm just pointing out that sometimes, when you see your parents have a stable marriage, and they love each other, and they fight a little, and they argue about the same things again and again, like you mentioned. Probably not so terrible. You know, here it's with finances, here it's with this, with that. He comes home late, she says, it's okay. So it's important to realize that not always do you have to take these things as seriously as you think you should, or because you and your husband never bicker, that's why to you this looks like, oh, come on, that's not a way to communicate. It's okay. Sometimes it's fine. It's not always terrible. The Gemara actually mentions the idea of Vezvuayv Besifu, which means that sometimes you see Talmidei Chachamim in Besmedrash that are fighting with each other and not getting along, and they're, in learning, obviously. Rischa Daraisa, and one will insult the other one. Oh, you sound like you're crazy. How could you say such a pshat? What's with you? With your cycle? You're talking like a little kid. Insulting comments. And all of a sudden you see when they leave the Besmedrash, they're just fine, they're friends. How did that happen? Because they didn't mean it. That's the idea. Obviously, when it comes to Torah, it's a whole different thing, but they didn't mean it. I mentioned recently about this Ger Tzedek, Rav Avraham Goldstein, and he was also talking when he became a Ger, and he noticed that Eden were fighting in Shul, and one of them insulted the other one or something. He said he was sure they would call the police, because he was used to seeing Puerto Ricans fight, and one of them called the other one a name, it went out of control. And you call me a name, and they start fighting, and all of a sudden the police were on the scene. And with Eden, he saw them fighting in Besmedrash, and all of a sudden they're davening together. Like, hey, how'd that happen? Somebody mentioned to me recently, also a Goyish worker, was working for Yidden, going back a couple of years, and he was watching a certain machloikas and a certain kehillah going on, because the people in the office were very intensely involved in a certain machloikas, and this one was doing bad things to that one, this one to this one, and they were bad mouthing each other and all that, and the goy that was there said something like, "Whoa, you guys don't stop fighting." I guess every day you hear the updates, and I'm not going to say it wasn't a chil Hashem, but one of the Yiddish workers explained to him, "Let me tell you something, we only have one atzula, we only have one chavayim. We only have one gemach. You know, we fight because we get passionate about certain things. Don't take it so seriously. When somebody has a problem, they call each other for help. And it was like a certain insight about how you didn't fight. Anyway, getting back to the point over here, there are people that fight. They shouldn't. I'm calling it fight. It's a childish word, but unfortunately, you see it. You know, people don't get along in a relationship and it affects the relationship. They get angry at each other, they get resentful, and things spiral out of control, and one thing leads to the next thing, and it's a problem. And then you have some people, they have a good relationship, and they bicker, and they argue, and then they have fun together, and then they go on vacation, and they come back, and then they argue about where to go on the next vacation, and it's not terrible. So I'm just mentioning this to get that kind of understanding. And I'm also saying is that people who do find themselves sometimes in their own relationship bickering a little or arguing a little, don't take it so seriously. You know, sometimes you just have to know how to overlook something and realize that nothing was intended, and it doesn't have to be, you know, something. And I'll tell you another thing. Sometimes you have a couple who don't agree on the severity of their problems. Okay, I think it was. Think about a certain professional who once mentioned this example. I'm not going to mention him by name. He had a couple come to him, and I've seen this myself many times since then. But that was the first time I heard of it. He had a couple come to him, and he asked them. How's your marriage? No good. How long are the problems in your marriage going on? So one of them says, 2 weeks. And the other one's shaking her head. She says, okay, how long? 6 years. And sometimes this alone is a challenging point where one thinks that the problem is terrible and gets offended by the fact that the other one doesn't think it's so terrible. You know, so we didn't get along. Well, and you know, my chadai said, but it was okay. Yeah, the last 2 weeks it was getting a little rough. Don't get offended if your spouse sees the bickering or the arguing as nothing personal. Even if you do, it doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of it. I'm just mentioning that different people see different things as more or less challenging. So that's just an idea that I think was important to mention. But let's go back over here to the question at hand. I think that if you're a caring daughter and you have an open relationship and you communicate in a very respectful way, I think that's what's okay to gently suggest. Tati, you know, I think things could be a little better. I'm not the one to talk about it. I probably wouldn't do better in your shoes, and you're much smarter than me. And all that. I know nobody means anything bad. I know you and mommy love each other. I think it would be helpful to talk to someone about it. That's it. You could very assertively suggest it. You could be very clear about the fact that you really believe it. It would be a good idea. But if you just start getting involved in being the therapist and pointing out, you know, you said this and mommy said that and she, it's not going to work. It's not good for you. It's not your place. And it probably won't work. And the same thing, I'm going back to what I said before about parents telling children. You want to tell your son or your daughter who's struggling in a marriage, you want to help them, and you want to help, and you should want to help them. And not say, okay, that's it. I had enough for you when you were a kid. No. But saying, you know, I think you could benefit from talking to this and this person. You should know, me and mommy, we also had this issue. We spoke to someone. It helped a lot. It's not a big deal. Trivialize the problem. Don't turn it into a monster. Give a suggestion on how to get help, and then walk away. Don't call back the next day. No, see, you called. You didn't call. Should I make you an appointment? You don't want to call. You have the money? Yeah. Be careful. You want to offer a little funding? Okay, that's still okay, but nothing more. Not, okay, here's the money. Did you use it? Do you need more? People get into this controlling thing, and it doesn't help. Even your own child will probably resent it. Forget about your child-in-law. So that's definitely something where people have to realize, you know, becoming a therapist of someone you're too close with, even if it's only a sibling, forget about if it's a parent. And you have to be very respectful, and you have to know your boundaries, both from a halachic perspective and from a practical perspective, and a relationship perspective. That's something you shouldn't do more than that. You could suggest nicely, respectfully, with a clear suggestion, and that's something that I think is I think that's where it ends. And I definitely think that it's something that parents make more mistakes about when it comes to children, assuming that, well, you're my kids, so I'm supposed to be mechanech you, instead of the other way around. But very often, children tell me about how their parents mixed into their marriages. And it's a problem. And I help children clarify to parents that I know you mean my good, and I appreciate that you mentioned something and pointed out to me that things could only get better. And I would still appreciate if you let me do it from here on my own. One more thing I want to mention before I finish with this topic about children seeing how parents bicker or argue. Let's mention one mistake, which it's not so important, but it should be mentioned. Not because let me explain. It's important that children should not make the mistakes they saw by their parents. So if your parents are arguing and fighting, don't do the same because that's what you saw. Now, I don't mean to say that people do it just because they saw it. That's a mistake. Very often you hear people diagnosing a problem. Oh, you know why this couple doesn't get along? She saw fighting at home. So now she's fighting. As if to say, she wouldn't really be fighting, but she learned it, so she thinks it's right. I don't believe in that. I think that when people fight on their own, or they don't get along, or they're difficult, or they're inflexible, it's not because they learned it. It's because they have their own issues. And you'll see that their siblings who grew up in the same home might be doing things very differently, even though they grew up with the same set of parents. However, What happens sometimes is somebody who is inclined to not get along with a spouse or to not be respectful will then rationalize and justify their behavior based on what they saw and not work on it. And that's a problem. Don't think that because you saw something and because it's okay and that's how it's supposed to be, and now you're allowed to do the same and say, well, that's what I grew up with. No, it's not okay. Do something about it. Work on yourself. Recently, somebody was repeating to me that his wife was screaming at the kids, and he said, you know, it's not good to scream at kids. No, it was the bedroom. It was going on and on. It was getting very abusive to a level where it was intolerable to have kids abused like that. And he said something like, you know, if you're going to keep on screaming like that, I have to go away. Now, this person, instead of realizing what that really meant, like, oh, you mean I might lose my marriage if I don't buckle down and try to behave or come up with some idea how to parent my kids. No, I'm not going to get it. What do you mean? There's nothing wrong with screaming at kids. And if you leave me, then when you're not here, I'm going to scream at them anyway. Psh, that's a chokhmah, right? Goinus. And he said, well, it's a big problem, but I don't think I could stick around and tolerate what's going on over here. At least when they're not by you, you won't scream at them. And what this lady then said was something like, well, it can't be too terrible because my parents always screamed at the kids and it's okay. And when you think into those words, it's not okay. I don't know if you noticed, but your parents screamed at the kids and they're screaming at their kids now. It's not okay to scream at kids. My point is just that, again, I don't think this person is screaming at the kids because the parents screamed at the kids. But if you're doing something and thinking that it's okay because that's what your parents did, and if it works for them, it works for you, and it must not be terrible, that's a mistake to make. And I didn't mean to trivialize the idea of bickering and arguing because that's what I saw and it worked for them. So, Mekamina, what's the big deal? Why are you getting so offended? My parents always did this. You know, my father always was late with the bills and nothing happened. Why are you getting so ticked off by it? Don't do that. If something's bothering your spouse, take it seriously. So, with Hashem's help and the proper understanding and the proper boundaries and the proper attitude of understanding how to try to help someone and be responsible for someone else's happiness, but not don't take the whole responsibility on yourself and don't try to do things that don't work. You know, with that kind of attitude, we could definitely try to promote Shulam Bayis not only with us, but to everyone around us and all live together. B'hava Achva Shulam Barayis.